everyone, and greeting to those of you on the webcast. I'm sorry the title didn't get into the announcement bulletin, but into the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a cube-shaped room in the tabernacle in the wilderness and later in the temples in Jerusalem. It was the inner room of the holy place, and to get into it, one would have to enter the tabernacle courtyard, pass the bronze altar, the bronze laver, enter the holy place, pass the showbread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense, and finally enter a special curtain on one side and walk to the other, and finally enter the Holy of Holies. It was a big deal. The entire Torah is a chiasm with the atonement center at the atonement ceremony at the very center. Anyway, the high priest was only allowed to make that trip into the Holy of Holies, and he could only do it once a year on the Day of Atonement. And this is why we are here today on the Day of Atonement. And you can read the commands on how the high priest, the commands on how to keep this day in Leviticus 23, 26 through 32. And as we know, it includes fasting. So consider a nation of millions of people, but only one person could enter the Holy of Holies only once a year. Some translations call it the most holy place. The original phrase is Holy of Holies, like Song of Songs, a way of expressing the superlative. So really, they just mean the same thing. This is the room that God himself promised that he would speak from. So we look at Exodus 25, 22, and I'll be reading from the New King James. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant was the only furniture in the room. And by the way, the word for ark used here is aron, which is not the same word as Noah's Ark, which is teva. And aron, like teva, just simply means a box or a chest. And modern usage of the word aron still means a piece of furniture, like a locker or filing cabinet. The term mercy seat needs some discussion. In Hebrew, it is the word kaperet, which does not mean mercy or seat. Neither the word mercy or the word seat occur in the Hebrew, though some verses later in the Bible do refer to it as God's footstool. And the word kaperet is derived from the word kippur, the Hebrew word for the day we're keeping. We're all familiar with Yom Kippur. And kippur means cover and some other things. Yet mercy seat occurs in many English translations, including the King James and the New King James, which I just quoted. Mercy seat and a number of other words can be traced back to William Tyndale, who was the first to translate from the Greek and Hebrew directly into English. Before that, they translated various Latin versions and so forth. And the King James translators copied heavily from Tyndale. Quote, William Tyndale was the first to use the terms Jehovah, Passover, Atonement, Scapegoat, and Mercy Seat in his translation of the Old Testament. Another quote, this one's from Wikipedia, by the way. Kaporet is only used to describe the cover of the ark. In English, the kaporet is called the mercy seat, but Jewish translators traditionally avoid the translation mercy seat and simply call it cover. Some modern translations will say ark cover or ark cover. Martin Luther, who translated the Bible into German, was a contemporary of Tyndale, and Tyndale made great use of Luther's 1522 translation. Luther called the kaporet throne of grace or seat of mercy. So that's probably where Tyndale got it from. I'm just more comfortable using the word cover. But English-speaking peoples owe a huge debt to Tyndale for his translation. At the time, translating the Bible into common languages was forbidden, and he was executed for his work. But some of his word choices, like mercy seat, have shaped theological thought for 500 years. Even the English name for this day, atonement, is a made-up word, probably by Tyndale. Phrases like at one or one meant were in use in Tyndale's time, but the word kippur means cover, with a secondary meaning of propitiation or expiation, not words that you hear in casual conversation. The word propitiation, that I looked at a number of definitions, this is the one I like the best, is the turning away of divine wrath. And the word expiation is the removal of sin. So they're obviously related to this day. And other meanings could include reconcile or annul. So, as I said, the high priest couldn't just stroll into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. He had a very detailed set of instructions on clothing and bathing and sacrifices and other rituals that he had to perform just so in order to enter and not die. So you can read Leviticus 16. The whole chapter describes the ritual that the high priest had to do on that day. And to me, it kind of suggests just how far from God we are, how difficult it is to approach him with our own righteousness. Our sins separate us from God, as it says in Isaiah 59. Israel couldn't even approach him directly. They needed that high priest to intervene for them. Is there no other way in? How do we enter that curtain? Well, there is another way in. Remember, the Holy of Holies, the holy place, is a tent within a tent, covered on all sides, and the Holy of Holies was the inner room of the holy place. But look at what is in the holy place next to the Holy of Holies, right outside the curtain. It's the table of incense. And the smoke from that incense makes its way past the veil. The formula for this incense is given right in the Bible. Exodus 30, verse 34. The Lord said to Moses, "Take for yourselves spices." And I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce these right. Stacte, onycha, and galbanum spices. And pure frankincense, and there shall be an equal part of each. So, I looked up all of these spices so that you don't have to. These ingredients make sweet incense to be burned twice daily in the tabernacle. The high priest was responsible for making sure this happened twice every day. The tabernacle incense was made from these three sweet spices plus frankincense. Stakti is probably myrrh, which we're familiar with from the gifts from the Magi to the baby Jesus. Scholars disagree about anaka, probably secretions from some kind of plant. Galbanum is an aromatic gum resin, whatever that means. But the problem with galbanum is that it smells bad. According to Wikipedia, it has a disagreeable bitter taste and a peculiar, somewhat musky odor and intense green scent. However green might smell. But when combined with the other ingredients, the sum is greater than the parts. That is, the incense smells better with galbanum. So this incense is an aroma that God enjoys and wants every day. It bypasses the veil, it bypasses the high priest, and drifts into the Holy of Holies. Well, why would anyone care? Because incense is prayer. Our prayers. Our prayers go straight to the throne of God. Directly. It is our way in. In Psalm 141, verse 2, we read, "May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering." And we get even a clearer verse in Revelation 5, verse 8. It says, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." In other words, here's a quote, "The fragrance of our words wafts through the throne room." So our prayers are incense. We have access to the Holy of Holies in heaven because of Christ's death on the cross. And this was pictured in a very real sense when he died. In Mark 15:37, we read that Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. And in Hebrews 10:19, we read, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." But we aren't in heaven, we're here. Christ is our high priest, not us. Our way into the Holy of Holies is by our prayers, like incense coming before God the Father as a sweet aroma. That's how we enter today. Prayer is a whole topic unto itself, but from the point of view of the tabernacle of Moses, consider that the incense was a specific formula, not unlike the model prayer of Matthew 6, verses 9 through 15. The one who offers the incense must first be clean, and the incense is to be offered daily. I looked up the four components of the incense, hoping to find some symbolism there. I didn't really see any in the components. I mean, maybe some of you have some insight on that. But I did notice that the incense is to be beaten fine. Our prayers should be detailed and specific. And it should be offered twice a day. Now, I don't think of my own prayers as being sweet incense, but more like galbanum. But our Heavenly Father does see our prayers as sweet incense.